moment. Yes, the recording has started. It's 1:04. Through a roll call, we'll start with Dr. King.
Here.
Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Mr. Greer. Mr. Greer, you're muted. Here. There he is. Mr. Barton.
Here.
Mr. Leone is still absent. Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Cardoza.
Present.
Ms. Sinish is still gone, and I am Judy Chepius. Dr. King.
Thank you. Members of the board, we are on agenda 11A, cases 2131 and 2228, Stephen Kempton. I think I see Mr. Kempton on the call. You're muted, though. Just if you want to. Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Judy, is it you or Mindy that's going to give us an update?
This is me. So in accordance with Mr. Kempton's consent agreement executed on May 3rd, 2023, he has engaged the services of affiliated monitors. Board staff received his first monitoring report on September 7th, and due to the serious nature of the monitor's finding, the matter was agendized for board review on September 29th at the regular scheduled meeting. In advance of the September 29th meeting, the staff unexpectedly received Mr. Kempton's secondary monitoring report. So that report was also included as a submission for the board's review. During the September 29th meeting, quorum issues prevented the matter from being heard, so it was tabled until this meeting in October. To ensure the board had a complete record of Mr. Kempton's compliance to date with all of the terms of his consent agreement, the table provided to you was updated. Mr. Kempton's monitoring report, as well as his continuing education certificates, are attached, and his most current therapist reports as well. The board was also provided with additional memos and attachments from previous board meetings. So at this point, things of note are the fact that we did receive monitoring reports on September 7th and September 26th. We have not yet received the report expected to be provided before November 10th. Mr. Kempton's therapy reports for August and September, we did receive them by the 10th of the month. We have not received an October report to date. So that is still outstanding. His chaperone requirements are ongoing. He completed the PBI professional course in June, but there was a 12-week course as well. And that was a late submission. He did submit the completion for that 12-week course. He has also completed the continuing education certificates for the spinal evaluation treatment and peripheral joint evaluation and treatment. So all of that information was provided to the board staff. I'm happy to answer any questions. This matter is for your review and consideration.
Judy, do I understand that we are missing the psychological report that we should have received on October 10th?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Kempton, any insight as to why we haven't received that?
From my knowledge, that I from the last time I talked to him, he told me he turned that in, and so he was on like Sunday night, he would remember to do it and was turning it in on Sunday night before the October 10th. So he told me he turned it in, so I can follow up with him.
Mr. Kempton, we're on October 31st, and you haven't followed up to make sure that part of your consent agreement keeps you in compliance?
From my knowledge, it was turned in. He told me it was turned in. From my knowledge, I don't get any reports or anything like that from him. They just go straight to the board, and so I was unaware of this.
Can I ask you when he told you he turned it in? What does Sunday night have to do with
that? Was probably 2 weeks ago on our last session that we talked.
Judy, how do we normally receive those?
They come encrypted email.
And we're sure we didn't get it, right?
I will check my spam folder again just in case. They don't typically go to spam. There have been communications between the two of us. But I have not seen it. But I will send them from different addresses.
Mr. Kimpton, how often are you seeing the therapist?
Every other week.
Do you have an appointment this week?
Yeah, I had one today. It was supposed to be at 12, but I had to text him and reschedule it because of this meet.
When's it rescheduled for?
I just texted him. I said, can we reschedule for later this week or next Tuesday? He said, sure. So we don't have an exact date. But I just did text him right now, and I just asked him, told him that the board hasn't received the October 10th report.
I'm just going to wait for Judy to see if she's found anything.
No, I have not.
Judy, is it our practice to follow up with them and find out why we haven't received it, or?
Yes and no. In this case, we have done that multiple times. Beyond that, it becomes a burden on staff to follow up on all of these components of it. So at this point, it's just expected that they show up. The monitoring reports always show up that way.
I understand that, but here we have Mr. Kempton saying, hey, he thought I just wanted to know if there was any way for Mr. Kempton to know that it wasn't submitted.
Whenever they are submitted or received, we email back immediately that it has been received, acknowledging receipt of that documentation to the therapist.
But not to Mr. Kempton?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
He just sent me a text, but he said, I thought I sent it. I will check my email.
For me, this puts you out of compliance with your consent agreement. And I hate to say again, but I'm going to say again. Mm-hmm. And I'm really concerned about that, Mr. Kempton, really concerned. You have a texting relationship with your counselor. Would have been easy for him to send confirmation that he sent it. It would have been easy for you to ask for that, considering that compliance with your consent agreement waxes and wanes on compliance of the people that you've chosen to help you make sure you're compliant, right? And we have had to have multiple conversations with your counselor and other people trying to get the information in to make sure you're compliant, and you are not in compliant right now.
I can understand that. I'm very sorry.
Do you agree? Are you in compliance with your consent agreement right now?
No. That report hasn't been turned in. He told me it was turned in, but I should have. I guess I can, even though the therapist told me he did, I guess I can email Judy and make sure that she has received it. But.
Judy, just so I understand, the nature of these reports, can Mr. Kempton be copied on these reports coming from his therapist, or because of the nature of them, is that not possible? Do we know, or is that a therapist thing?
That would be a question, honestly, for Mr. Harris. The way that it's worded in the consent agreement is that because the evaluations and monthly reports are being prepared for the board. They come to the board. I suppose I would couch it in the same question as the monitoring reports. I'm not certain if the monitoring company sends a report to Mr. Kempton at the same time. But I do know that they specify in those reports that they do discuss the items in those reports with Mr. Kempton. So I would imagine it should be the same type of circumstance.
Okay. I mean the reason that
go ahead, Josh.
No, go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say the monitoring reports do appear to be copied to him.
Yeah. So, and that's my, because I shared Dr. King's concern that this is a continuous issue, that it keeps coming up before the board. We keep running into these problems. And the thing that kind of makes me pull back and not as inclined to just kind of drop the hammer, for lack of a better word, is, if he's correct and he's in contact with his therapist is telling us that he's sending it and he's not, I think that's somewhat more understandable. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out, is if there's some way he would have had any ability to know that this therapist did not follow through.
I guess my question for you on that, Josh, would be if your license depended upon someone being sending in a report for you on the 10th of every month, not just sometime during the month, but right, the 10th of every month, and on the 31st, you tell your board, well, he told me he sent it a couple of weeks ago, but you never checked, right? But your license is dependent on them sending it by the 10th.
No, I agree.
And this is the same conversation we keep having. Right. I didn't know. He didn't. I thought. I'm not sure.
And Dr. King, on the other hand, he did ask. He said, did you send it? The therapist said yes.
Then you asked for email confirmation. You don't have to send me the report.
Well,
a screenshot that it was sent. My license is on the line.
Yes, but he also got a yes answer. He also said, did you send it? Yes. And now we have a more equivocal. I think I did. But I don't think Dr. Kempton knew that he was non-compliant until this meeting.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to understand is if he's doing the follow-up and asking the guy, I mean, I don't know, but I think it's fairly reasonable to assume your therapist is not lying to you when he says, I sent it.
I would assume that if it was the first time. It's been, you will have to ask Judy how many times she's had to reach out to the therapist to get reports in. Judy, how many times have you had to connect with the therapist to get the reports that you need to be in compliance with not your consent agreement, but Mr. Kempton's?
We received the first report on April 17th, which was under his ICA. And then the following report was June 21st. So since April, May, June, July, August, September, October, there should have been 7 total reports. We have 5.
My point exactly.
They came on April 17th, June 21st, July 21st. Then they started on the 10th. So we got August 10th and we got September 10th. And nothing since.
So the missed reports we have are May and then this October report.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've already had a lengthy conversation about the May report.
Mm-hmm. About the May report and the timeliness of the reports and the time frame that they're supposed to be submitted by. And that's when in August and September it came by the 10th. It was on the 10th in both of those months.
Dr. King, members of the board, I'm just reviewing the consent agreement, and under the general provisions, Paragraph 29 reads, respondent shall be responsible for ensuring that all documents required in this consent agreement are provided to the board in a timely manner. So ultimately, you know, I understand what we're saying, but ultimately it is his responsibility, Mr. Kempton, to make sure that, you know, the people that he's engaged to assist him in his compliance with this, you know, are timely, you know, meeting the board's, you know, requirements. Everybody has a copy of the consent agreement.
Yeah, and I understand that. I just wanted to know, you know, when people ask, when my clients ask me to do something, they don't normally follow up to make sure I did it. And I tell them I did it. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
And that's how it, I imagine it is for normal professional relationships. Hey, did you submit that? Yes, I did.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm not sure it's reasonable to say, well, can you prove it to me that you did?
Let me ask you this, though. If you were asked the first time and you said you did and you didn't, and your client found out, do you think when they asked you again the next time, they would want to know a little more about actually did you do it this time?
Perhaps, perhaps, but.
If their livelihood was on the line.
And
potentially.
I often deal with situations with a livelihood. So I'm just saying it's not a unreasonable.
I get it for the first time. Totally.
But this isn't the first, you know, I remember the prior issues, and August 10th was on time and September 10th was on time. I think it's reasonable to say October is going to be on time. Whatever he did in August and September obviously worked.
October 10th is gone. It's not on time.
But I don't think he knew that until today. I think he walked into this meeting thinking he was compliant.
I think that's a huge assumption on your part.
Dr. Kempton or Mr. Kempton, I don't know which one it is. Did you know you were non-compliant when you walked into this meeting?
No, I did not. I have the text right here.
What was the text?
The text I sent
from
him
today.
Yes, I told him I didn't. When we talked about it the first time, it was over voice. There was no text. It was over. It was during a session when we talked the first time.
And Mr. Kempton, can you share with us exactly what the provider texted you? Would you mind doing that?
Yeah. I said, the board is saying they didn't get their report on October 10th. And then he said, I thought I sent it. I will check my email. Then he says, I apologize for any flack you're getting on my account. And then he said, I don't know what happened, but I will make sure and resend it by the end of the day.
Okay. I mean, it sounds. Yeah,
go ahead, Josh.
It sounds to me like that's a problem with the professional. I mean, the assumption we're making is that Mr. Kempton's reading the text message, but I don't have any reason to believe he's not. And if the professional's saying, I thought I sent it and I'm sorry, I'm going to send it today, that suggests to me that Mr. Kempton's doing what he can, short of, you know, standing behind his therapist and watching him send an email.
And what I want to say is when you look at it, you know, we all read the first Affiliated Monitors report, and I think that's why we're here, because that was troubling. And then we read the second one. And the second one showed, I think the word was, tremendous improvement. And isn't that that's the reason we offered a consent agreement, just so he could improve. And so far it appears to be working. You know, if I get this October 10th report and.
We actually offered a consent agreement for two reasons. One, for inappropriate sexual misconduct with a patient. And that's where the counseling comes in, right? That's where the addictionologist and the counseling piece comes in. The second piece was evaluating his practice. That's the evaluation of the practice and the practice monitor. I'm so glad to see that that's improving. I'm still concerned that we're not seeing reports on the addiction problem that was identified by a professional. That's where I come in to concern. That's a big piece of it. So we had two pieces to the consent agreement.
But if this would have been heard last month, when it was supposed to be heard, we wouldn't have this discussion because last month he was compliant.
Right.
And then he's not.
But for
that's how it goes. Will he be next month? We don't know.
I get it, but
you get what I'm saying? Like at one point
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I'm trying to focus on the improvement.
So I want to talk about that. Because the monitoring report, the very first one, really made me step back and wonder what all of that continuing education did for him that he was supposed to have taken last year in documentation, in practice management, in ethics, in everything, to come back with, we have problems with we have absolute problems with documentation, we have problems with billing, we have problems with scheduling, and then the only improvement we see is when he's called out on it yet again. So he spent all last year not making improvements until his hand was really forced between the end of September and that next meeting. It's just very, you know, concerning for lack of a better word.
Oh, I completely agree with you, Dr. Castillo. I was blown away by the first report, and then I got the second report, and you know, I don't know what to do with that because now we finally seem to get the changes that we were asking for.
Well, and I think this is what I'm. That's what I see as well, because I agree with Dr. Castillo and Dr. King that, you know, early on I was very, very concerned. And what I'm trying to do is look at where we are now as opposed to the feelings I had early on. I agree with Mr. Greer that, you know, the reason that we offer consent agreements and the reason we didn't just go to a revocation hearing is because we wanted to give Mr. Kempton the opportunity to practice. We wanted to give him the opportunity to rehabilitate and to provide these services to the public. And it looks, you know, from the information I have, it looks like there's been improvement. There's been tremendous improvement in a lot of areas. We're talking about a therapy report that's late. We've had evidence today that therapy report was late after Mr. Kempton followed up on it to ensure that it was done. I guess that's kind of the system that I'm looking at is if he's taking affirmative actions and those kind of, you know, the text message that he read us suggests to me that he really did do it, because if he was, you know, trying to cover his base and say, go tell his therapist, hey, did you send that report in? And that was the first time he'd followed up. I would not expect that therapist to be texting back to him and saying what he's saying. And so, I don't know what the other members of the board are thinking, but that suggests to me a significant improvement in compliance from what we were dealing with earlier in the year. And that's kind of the perspective that I'm viewing this at.
Well, I feel like we're seeing a maybe 4-week improvement when we've been working on this case for well over a year.
2021.
We have been asking for changes and improvement and changes in behavior for quite some time. And, how long did it take him to find a chaperone? It took months for him to find a chaperone. It took months for him to, you know, come up and sign the consent agreement. And then now all of a sudden, you know, he gets a pat on the back for being in compliance for a month. I'm I'm still just very, well,
the piece that we've heard over and over, Karen, is what rings to what you're saying is the passivity. I didn't know. They didn't do this. I couldn't find one. They didn't return my call. They didn't return my email. They didn't seem to understand. You know, it's like, how many times have we asked Mr. Kempton to own his license? The other thing I want to ask Mr. Kempton is this. One of the recommendations in your monitoring report was around potential Medicare fraud. And the monitor suggested that you self-report that Medicare fraud. And I'm just going to ask you if you did that.
Yes, I did. I went in and I fixed the billing per his recommendations for that day. And so I went in and I reported those bills, and I went and rebilled it and changed my billing for that patient.
I don't recall it was just one day. I thought it was kind of a global practice. So
he came in and observed that one day.
So you fixed the billing that you'd continually done, but you only fixed it for one day. Is that what you're saying?
No, I fixed it for the day that he saw that, but we were under miscommunication for a lot of that. But yes, I did fix it, and I can go self-report it. I didn't know what the board would want me to do for that, but I went in and I went for the reports that he saw. I went and fixed those and rechanged the billing and rebuild those patients.
How has your billing changed since then?
Well, I bill for the for the miscommunication is the TRICARE patients. I was not aware, did not understand that it was the same one-on-one time as it was with Medicare. And so now that is, I only bill for the time that I am physically with those patients.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you take a billing CEU last year? I thought that was part of.
I did. They didn't talk on TRICARE. They didn't discuss TRICARE patients.
So I guess, Dr. King, I guess the question is what are we looking at? Because looking at kind of our options here, it looks like the question is, we've got an item of noncompliance, which is this therapy report that is late. He's already under a consent agreement. As far as I mean, it looks like we're looking at the potential disciplinary move is moving for revocation. I mean, is that what you're thinking about?
I am, yes.
Okay.
I would make that motion. We'll vote on it as we need, but I think at this point, my concern is how many times do we allow anyone to come in not compliant with their consent agreement, and we keep giving them more opportunities, whether it's you were supposed to take 30 CEUs and you only took 28. You're not in compliance with your consent agreement. It doesn't matter if it's this compliant or that compliant. You're not in compliance again. And so I am at the point now where I am ready to make a motion. I'll make a motion that we lift the stay of revocation and revoke Dr. Kempton's license.
I'll second it for continued discussion.
And I guess my concern is there may have been times I would be open to entertaining that motion. I feel like given the reliance that he put on his therapist for October, and given the fact that this is set in October because of our quorum issues. I mean, Grant, maybe that doesn't matter because we'd be discussing this in November anyway. But, you know, I guess that's my perspective is I think, you know, it seems to me that what Mr. Kempton is saying is that he's as surprised as we are to find this noncompliance and that he took reasonable steps to ensure it was done. Now I understand that he has ultimate responsibility for that, but I'm not sure how, I guess I'm hesitant to suggest that we should be telling Mr. Kempton he needs to be, you know, essentially standing over his therapist's computer to make sure this gets sent to us.
Again, if my license was dependent on it, I would want proof, right? It makes sense. You don't have to send me the report. Screenshot the sent email of who you sent it and the date. I may have to prove this. If they don't get it and they say they don't have it, I want to be able to say you should have it. Because here's a screenshot of my professional's email saying they sent it. That's what I would rather hear from Mr. Kempton saying, oh, well, I talked to him 2 weeks ago and he said on a Sunday night, he said he was going to send it. And he didn't, but I didn't follow up. I just assumed he was going to send it.
He
and
said
now
he,
it's the 31st and they didn't.
He said he had already sent it.
You said told us, Mr. Kempton, that he said he was going to send it. He normally sends it on Sunday nights. And he was
yes.
going to send it.
So he was talking about past. It was a Sunday night when he was up and then he remembered it. He's like, oh, I need to get that sent. So he told me he sent it.
Mr. Barton, I'm less concerned about the timing of the therapist report than I am about the monitor's report. Because that is everyday practice. Over the course of the year, there were no changes to his practice other than having a chaperone.
Can I follow up on that?
We're in discussion, Mr. Kempton.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And Dr. Bastillo, you're right. And if we didn't have the October report or September, the one we got right before the board meeting last, I would completely agree with you. But then we got this report that ultimately it worked. Ultimately everything we did worked and we got tremendous improvement, no additional needed changes, just continue working through what we're doing. And that's exactly what we want. It's exactly what we're trying to do.
I guess I can live with that. But I need to see that this is going to continue. And I know that we get that with we have a period of monitoring. But I really feel like if there's a slip at all during that time, this changes how I feel. I'm just...
Mr. Kempton, really quick, one question. Looking at the monitoring report, he talks about because of many billing irregularities. He wasn't talking about one day, okay? Many billing irregularities, Mr. Kempton should successfully complete a medical billing course and provide completion documentation. Because of strong evidence of fraudulent billing with Medicare and TRICARE, he should self-report and repay CMS and provide completion documentation. Have you done those?
I am in the middle. No, I have not completed a medical billing course. No, and I have not self-reported. I have not done that yet. No.
Okay. Do you have a plan? This was 6 weeks ago. This report was written. Do you have a plan to do that?
Yeah, I can do that for sure. I will do that.
If I didn't ask you, it doesn't sound like you were going to.
I wasn't exactly sure what on that report, like I can do that. So anything that the monitoring company says is something that I will make sure and do in regards to continued ed courses. And even if they don't know what my past was. Okay.
Did you discuss that with the monitor?
I did. We discussed a lot, like the past medical history and all the other stuff in the evaluation. there was a miscommunication. He didn't receive the handwritten portion of the evaluation where there's a past medical history, a couple forms of past. He didn't receive that, so he didn't know any of that information, and that wasn't in the eval. And so he reported on that.
Sure.
And so we talked about it and we discussed it, and I was like, well, next time I didn't know you wanted that. And so I will make sure and send that because Mindy Richardson used to ask for it. And so we discussed that. We discussed the billing and we came to an understanding on that. And so I immediately made changes that day.
Just for the board's information, an email just landed from Mr. Kempton's therapist with a report.
Did he happen to forward the one he thought he already sent? Or was this a new email?
He just sent the email now. He specified that using the encryption, he wasn't sure how to search his sent files, but that the encryption of an email doesn't change anything about the recording of something being sent.
Right. Any other questions for Mr. Kempton or
Judy, what's the date of that report?
The email is dated today, 3 minutes ago. The report itself that he attached. The file itself is titled 10-10-2023, but the date of the report is written on the report itself as 9-10-23. So the sessions were supposed to be from 9-19 to 10-3, encompassing two sessions, but the report date itself says 9-10. So,
Judy,
I don't know what date it's supposed to be.
You have a second to compare and contrast if it's the same report, just change date.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Bear with me, please.
Yeah, and Dr. King, members of the board, one of the things that I would just ask that we be sensitive to is trying to do things in real time. One option that you do have is to, you can request that the evaluators and the therapists appear at a board meeting to discuss their role in, Mr. Kempton's compliance with the, consent agreement. And I'm not saying that you want to do that, but that is an option that's available to you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. I think for me at this point, I want to know if this report's different than the last report we received. And then maybe we'll go from there, if that's okay.
The content is not identical, but it's very similar with different dates.
So the dates are different. Is the narrative the same?
That's what I'm looking at. It's very similar. It's not identical.
Okay. So. Well, that's consistent with the 8-10 report and the 9-10 report. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's similar, but I wouldn't say it's identical.
What were the dates he said he saw him? Do you mind?
9-19 and 10-3.
Okay, so that would have put you maybe seeing him last week. Was there a reason you didn't see your therapist last week? 10-3, 2 weeks from that's 10-17.
I don't know. We do every other. So, no, I saw him. I was supposed to see him today, correct? So I, and so I didn't see him last week. I saw the week prior to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so I guess to go back to our discussion on this motion, I'm looking at this, the affiliated monitoring, the second monitoring report. I see improvements. I see a conversation with his therapist where it seems like it's a therapist foul. On getting that to us, and upon receipt, it looks like the therapy was provided as ordered by us on the dates that we ordered. I'm just not. I guess I'm struggling to see what would cause us to remove the stay of revocation as we're sitting here today. And to be clear, Dr. King, I mean, there have been times over the last year or 2 years of this that I certainly would have agreed with you. The question is, as we sit here today, is the noncompliance sufficient to do that? And I'm kind of leaning no.
Okay. Yeah, for me, it's, first of all,
There's
Mr. Barton.
What?
Oh. Your machine is echoing.
Which puts him, again, out of compliance. And I say again, I'm looking more at, like, the trends. This is just which non-compliance will be the one that tips the scale, right, to revocate? Does it need to be a little one? Does it have to be a really big one? Compliance, in my mind, is compliance. And he's been out of compliance outside of today. And we've overlooked and given him opportunity. For me, it's a trend and I don't anticipate past behavior predicts future behavior. I anticipate that it's just a matter of time. I would rather revocate on something like this than he breaches and goes down a slippery slope with a patient or billing or something like that. So for me, how many times do we overlook noncompliance? So it's not about the report. It's about big picture that he's continually coming before the board and he's not in compliance. And believe me, I understand the gravity of this motion. It's huge. But if I look at our mission statement and I look at what we're trying to do, right, we have given this licensee more than enough opportunities to turn around and be a reflection of our profession. And he's continually not doing it. It's only until he gets called on it. It seems that he's going, what do you want?
And I guess, Dr. King, I think a lot more inclined to agree with you if it was something, even a little thing that he had done. I think the thing that's giving me a lot of pause here is that the affiliated monitors report looks like there's improvement, and the foul that we would be revoking on is essentially that he called and asked somebody to whether the report was sent, and that person apparently lied to him. And that's what gives me pause about a revocation is we're really going to revoke a license because the therapist lied to a patient. I mean, and not a physical therapist, right? His psychotherapist. That concerns me.
And Dr. King, members of the board. For some reason, is there something I'm doing, Judy?
No, it's something with Josh's connection, Josh Barton's connection.
I'm gonna try to leave and come back if that works for everybody.
Sure. Okay.
I think he might have earbuds he uses earbuds from time to time. I don't know if they're disconnected.
Is that better?
I think so. Yeah, thanks, Josh. I was just saying, just as a suggestion, one option would be for the board, because the way the consent agreement is worded, if there's any violation of the consent agreement, board staff can lift the stay, the license is revoked, and then Mr. Kempton would have 10 days to notify the board that he'd like to challenge the lifting of the stay. So maybe one option or one thought would be to let Mr. Kempton know today that there will be no more grace periods. There will be no more excuses. If a report isn't submitted, when it's due pursuant to the terms of the consent agreement, the next time that happens, board staff will lift the stay. That will give him an opportunity to go back to all of his providers to let them know what the consequences of their inactions are going to be, because Mr. Kempton can find another therapist. That is something that he can do. He can terminate this therapist if he's not complying with the board's requirements and find, another one. And maybe that's just a way to move forward, letting Mr. Kempton know that, he's, kind of, run out of second chances, and the next time the stay will be lifted.
Thanks, Mr. Harris.
The good news is you're free to completely disregard what I just said.
No, I would never ever disregard what you said, but I do want to, I have a really good memory, and I do want to remind the board that we had this very conversation with him that we won't one more and you're done, when he didn't have a chaperone and he didn't have we've had the one more time conversation with Mr. Kempton. This will at least be the second, if not the third.
And Mr. Harris, just to make sure we're clear, the therapist needs to be approved by the board, correct? So if he does terminate the therapist, he'll need to go find one and then get it approved by us within the time frame that he's going to need to have I would be hesitant
and that's a good point, but my only thought would be it would be one of those situations that I wouldn't terminate the therapist until I had a new therapist pre-approved by the board ready to go,
right?
And an appointment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Josh, you're muted.
I was just agreeing.
Okay. Excellent discussion. We have a motion and a second on the table. Is there any more discussion before we take a vote?
It's been moved and seconded to lift the stay of revocation and revoke Mr. Kempton's license to practice as a physical therapist. Dr. King.
For failure to comply with the terms of the consent agreement, discussed. Sorry to interrupt, Judy.
No. Nope. Welcome interruption. Let me reread that, please. It's been moved and seconded to lift the stay of revocation and revoke Mr. Kempton's license to practice as a physical therapist for failure to comply with the terms of his consent agreement as discussed. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
No.
Mr. Barton?
No.
That motion fails.
Mr. Harris, do we need a motion here if we just want to? I do want to see this again at our December meeting.
Yeah, there's no requirement that the board take any action at this meeting. You can, though, request, you know, anything for the future, or that it be re-agendized for, you know, whenever you.
I would like this re-agendized for the December meeting so we can review the October report, the affiliated, that we'll have two more affiliated monitor reports and presumably three more psychological reports.
Yeah. Is that a motion?
Do I need a motion?
Do you need a motion?
It might, probably not, but it might not be bad given, you know, the discussion.
It is a motion.
I second that. Okay, a motion and a second.
It has been moved and seconded to re-agendize this case for further discussion at the December 12th meeting. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great.
Mr. Right. Kempton, please convey to your professionals how important it is.
Absolutely.
These things get submitted in time. What? There is not going to be much time between the December 10th due date and the December 12th meeting. And you've heard the discussion, and I hope you know how close that was.
Yes, I do see how close that was. I just, so the board knows, Affiliated hasn't contacted me or requested records for October yet, and so I reached out towards them earlier today, and I'm like, hey, what's the deal? How come, is there a reason you guys haven't? And I'm waiting on their response, but I know they have a report due on November 10th.
I'd start blowing up their phone, so.
Yeah, I'll give them a call.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kempton.
Thank you.
Okay, breathe, and we'll move to board business and reports. And Judy, you want to give us a rules committee?
We have to go back to 8A.
Oh, maybe. Oh. Is that the room hearing?
Mr. Morelli is here.
Oh, is he here?
I don't think he is.
Oh, Mr. Morelli, are you here? Okay. Mr. Harris, do we need to do anything? Did we just...
Well, we do. We have a motion for review. The one thing, though, we may want to do is just, you know, continue it and have the board reach out one more time and say the board will consider it with or without your attendance at its next meeting, if that's the desire of the board. Otherwise, you're free to, you know, decide it today. But I'll defer to the board.
Mr. Harris, do I understand that the board order is not final while this motion is pending?
That is correct.
That was my executive session question.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. That's perfect.
So the only thing that I saw on that was the concern about, I think, upgrading versus updated. Mm-hmm. Can the staff
do
tell us?
Do we need to call the case or?
I guess, yeah, do we need to officially call this before we talk about it?
Yes, if, okay. Yeah.
So let's discuss agenda item 8, A, case 2319, Mark Morelli, for the request for rehearing. Judy or Mindy, you want to give us just a brief update on the process or on the request?
Let me get that in front of me. Bear with me. My apologies. Okay. So, Mr. Morelli, after his after his board order was executed, he did return a request that was via email, and that email was included. And he did return the request expressing some concerns about specifically some verbiage, exactly the word updated and not upgraded. He expressed concerns about that. He had also expressed concerns about the process in which he found himself when treating the patient. He also requested or made one statement that he was not provided with the documentation, which is incorrect. He was provided with the documentation and the board, the investigative report in advance of his informal hearing as he had requested. Those are typically shared through a Google Drive. A shared Google Drive, which he was provided access to. He was informed that this meeting was going to take place. He was informed that this this matter would be on the board's agenda. I believe that date was September 27th when he was informed. He was also provided with the typical precursor to an invitation. The board sends out a precursor to an invitation to identify that there is a board meeting invitation forthcoming. And then the invitation itself. All of those were sent when the matter was called again when the matter was called the first time today. I did send him another email indicating that the board is calling his case, and if he's able to join the meeting that he needs to. I also provided the joining materials as well. I've not yet gotten a response to that. He did not respond to the invitation, but his whole explanation for his request was that email that was provided to you. Other than that, there's been no specific information. The anticipation was that it would be discussed in open session with him directly to determine exactly what his concerns were.
Mr. Martin, you were saying?
Yeah, so the only question that I had on this is it just a typo, the upgraded versus updated, or it seems like he thought it was a typo. And I'm not actually opposed to fixing a typo in the order if that's all we're going to do. I don't know that I see any merit to the other things, but that was the one area that I looked at and thought, well, if it's a typographical error, fine.
Typically, those elements are pulled from the investigative report, which is presented at the either the initial review or the informal hearing, and made part of the consent agreements or board orders in the finding of facts sections. So, yeah.
And I reviewed the medical record as well, and it did say updated, not upgraded. So it does appear to be an error. I'm not sure it's an error that materially affected his rights, but I'm with like Mr. Barton, I'm not opposed to saying, okay, we'll grant the rehearing to change the one word from upgrade to update.
I don't think we have the remainder of it. Yeah, I don't think we have to do a rehearing. We could do a review. We could ask the board staff to open a review and change the verbiage. I don't think we have to rehear it. Rehearing is rehearing everything versus review.
Well,
yes, I think you could, if you're inclined just to make that one change, I think you could just make a motion to, you know, grant Mr. Morelli's motion for review for the limited purpose of changing the word upgraded and finding a fact paragraph 4 to updated.
So moved.
Second.
There you go.
We should do all emotions like that.
I know. Mr. Harris, gosh.
All I need to do is have Mr. Harris take our minutes as we're discussing now, because.
Yeah. That's I'm all not, I saw too.
I'm not sure I got all that.
Okay. Well, I like it. So do you, any other discussion on that?
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I want to discuss about this is that you know, Mr. Morelli was not present for his initial review. We had to take it to an informal hearing, and he's not present today. So I'm happy to make a wording change, but I really feel like none of the other complaints warrant a rehearing.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
I completely agree.
Okay. Great. So we have a motion and a second. You ready to vote?
Let's hear it, Judy.
Yeah, good luck. we're going from upgraded to updated, correct?
Correct.
I didn't get this the way Mr. Harris so eloquently stated it, but well, here we go. It's been moved and seconded to grant Mr. Morelli's request for review and to direct staff to change the word upgraded to updated in the board order. Is that accurate? Sufficient?
Close enough.
Okay. Sounds good. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
And just a point of clarification, who made that motion and who seconded it?
I think I made it, technically.
And I think was Greer. It was Greer and Bustillo is what I got.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. There we go. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Karen, for reminding me about eight. Judy Chepias and Peg Hiller, you're up.
The Rules Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you guys are exercising my ability to jump from screen to screen and document to document today. That's all I can say. So the Rules Committee, and Ms. Hiller can feel free to jump in as she sees fit. At its August 24th meeting, the board voted to develop a Rules Committee. At its August 24th, 2021 meeting, the board voted to develop a rules committee, which due to unforeseen circumstances was not further pursued at that time. At its July 25th, 2023 meeting, the board voted to reform that rules committee and tasked with reviewing the board's current rules and providing recommendations for the board's consideration. The board is now asked to establish the committee size and make committee appointments, including the included in the committee are two board members, Dr. Bastillo, PT, and Mr. Leone, PTA, as well as Ms. Peg Hiller, who will act as the committee chair. Potential members were sought to represent various stakeholder groups, and those who have expressed an interest submitted documentation outlining their interest and or their qualifications. All submitted documentation was provided as a separate portfolio for the board's consideration. So the matter is now before you.
You want to, oh, Peg, you're muted.
So I'm muted when I don't want to be, and I'm not muted, but should be, I get it. The only comments I would make is that, mandatory five-year rules review will be coming up in 2024. It does appear that there was some incomplete work done on the previous rules review. That was in 2019. So we are kind of coming at the project looking at trying to include what should have been completed in 2019 as well as what is critically necessary administratively for the board to conduct its business. We reached out and contacted, I'm going to say 20 individuals, and you have the list representing, physical therapy administration, education, professional association, and PT consumers. And what you have are the people who responded to three separate attempts to solicit members for appointment to this committee. So it's now up to the board.
What's ideal committee size?
Smaller is somewhat better as far as herding cats. Mm-hmm. We do have two board members. We have multiple qualified individuals from the community. An odd number is always valuable. Much of this is kind of an administrative task of reading the rules, seeing if they work for the board. So we were anticipating perhaps seven members. Five seems a little small since we've already got three members identified. So hoping perhaps for seven members. And we're looking at a less than 6 month time frame for the group to gather, review what's been done, discuss what the board's needs are for the 2024 revisions, if any, and come back to you so you, the board has time to file the necessary paperwork with GIRC and move this process towards conclusion. So 7 people, 6 month or less time frame.
Ms. Hiller, or is it Dr. Hiller?
Oh no, it's Ms. Hiller.
Okay, I get that too. you proposed six names. That would make it a committee of nine. Would you like us to appoint the six, or would you like to tell us who your four favorites are?
I don't know if I have four favorites. I'd like the board to decide if they need, if more is better. I mean, fortunately, all 20 people we approached didn't respond, or maybe it would have been fortunate because then there actually would have been some discussion of who's best qualified to serve or who will best represent the communities of interest. I don't know if Judy has a sense of what a perfect number would be. We're going to be able to work with whatever we've got.
And Ms. Hiller, I'm inclined to appoint all six, and I know that's a little bigger than what you suggested, but they're going to be people who can't make it and not show up, and I'm inclined to do that unless you tell me not to.
I have no concerns about that, Mr. Greer.
Okay. And that guy, I would have moved to appoint the six people identified in the memorandum.
Second.
I would read their names off, but I'd have to switch screens, and I'm not sure I'd do it.
It would be helpful to read their names out to the record.
I'll read their names.
Thank you.
J.J. Bursell, PT, Lori Bordenave, PT, Peggy Hunter, PTA, Jim Linsky, PT, Blair Packard, PT, and Linda Thun, PT.
Perfect. She pronounces her name Thun, but I don't think she'll object.
Don't tell her.
I won't.
Who did the second?
That was me.
Barton, thank you.
I just want to say thank you to all of those who put their name forward and willing to, you know, give their time and talents in a rules review. It's not necessarily exciting work, but so important. And so I'm just grateful for everyone on that list who said, you know, I can help. So thank you. All right, you ready to call a vote?
Yes. It has been moved and seconded to appoint to the Rules Committee the additional six members who have volunteered to join. That includes J.J. Bursell, Lori Bordenave, J.J. Bursell, PT, Lori Bordenave, PT, Peggy Hunter, PTA, Jim Linsky, PT, Blair Packard, PT, and Linda Thun, PT, to join the committee. Also on that committee are Dr. Karen Bustillo, PT, and Mr. Giovanni Leone, PTA, and Ms. Peg Hiller, PT.
Excellent.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone is absent. Mr. Greer. Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you all very much. I'll send something out this week to the committee, and Judy and I'll get together and we'll launch.
Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you, Peg.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Would you want some kind of an update at each board meeting or when there is something to report? What's your pleasure?
Something to report would be my preference. I know it's a lot of work, and so when something's, you know, relevant and valuable to bring to the board, do so. I don't think we need to see a monthly update. Does anybody else, or would someone prefer monthly? Okay.
I think that's great.
Thanks. It shall be done.
Yeah, thank you.
At this time, I would also like to record for the record that Ms. Sinish rejoined our meeting at 1:50 p.m.
She missed us.
Yes. We're hard not to miss.
I know.
I did miss you.
We are at agenda 13, future agenda items. Anything coming up? Judy, do we have, I'm sure we will in December, but since we're not meeting in November, thinking about the 2024 dates, because I think we have to vote on those at some point.
Typically, the January meeting is where we vote on officers as well as the agenda, although that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'm anticipating that we'll have dates at the December meeting.
Perfect. That what just helps people plan, right?
Yeah. It will be hard to vote on meeting dates at a meeting that isn't scheduled for a date. So okay. We'll have to preempt that.
Look forward to that. Okay. So future agenda item are 2024 dates.
Yes.
And then just get ready for officer voting in January.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else from anybody? I want to say really quickly that the public members, Josh, you guys across the board at the annual meeting were applauded. You know, all of the jurisdictions said that they just don't know what they do without their public members. So I want to thank you for the value you bring to our board and the perspective that you give us and the discussion that you bring. So thank you. I know you give up a lot to be here. And just super grateful. So thank you.
Don't think we're agendized for that.
Can you put on future agenda to thank the public, please?
There was an annual meeting agenda item. So
okay, there you go. Put it back there.
We're safe.
All right, then the last thing to do is adjourn.
Adjourn.
Okay. Have a motion. Who seconded that? Dr.
Greer did first. Bustillo did second.
Perfect. Okay. It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes. The meeting is adjourned at 2:16, and we will stop the recording.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Have a good Halloween.